God placed man in a beautiful garden called Eden, which is a part of Iraq. And when man placed him, he was perfect. He and his wife Eve were perfect. But one day they had a choice. They had a choice to obey God, to follow God, or to disobey him. They chose to disobey him. The scripture says, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. But man was tempted. I do not understand how the devil became a serpent. I don't understand how terrific he must have been to lure Eve and Adam into sin. We know that there's something wrong with human nature. Terrorism, war, greed, immorality, racial tensions. You know, people used to look to technology to save them. Now we're afraid technology will destroy us. Man has a terminal disease. Sin is the transgression of the law. How many of the Ten Commandments have you kept? Try to name them. We haven't kept many of them. The scripture says, all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the end of that kind of road is death and judgment and hell. The scripture says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're alienated from God. We're under the sentence of death. What kind of death? Natural death. You go driving by a cemetery, that reminds us that we're going to die. It reminds me of a man from the city who was passing through a little mountain town near where we live in North Carolina. He stopped to buy some gas and was talking with an elderly man who ran the gas station. The man from the city said, this looks like pretty healthy country around here. What's the death rate in this town? The old man replied, just one to a person, just one to a person. C.S. Lewis, the great British writer, said war does not increase death. You think about it. War does increase death. We're all going to die. Are you ready to die? Whether you're a young person here today or an old person like me, you'd better decide for Christ here and now, because you never know when your time is coming to leave this world. That's natural death. But then there's spiritual death. Some of the words in the New Testament used by Christ describe the penalty of sin: lost, perish, condemned, punishment, hell, torment. We were in New Zealand once. I remember that we had spoken at the university, and I had mentioned the fact that there was a hell. And one of the students came to see us late at night, and he was admonishing me for mentioning that. He said, you can't talk about that here at a university. I asked him, suppose you went out to the airport and got on a plane for Sydney, Australia, and they told you there's a 10% chance you couldn't make it. Would you take the plane? No, he said, I wouldn't. I said, suppose there's just a 10% chance there is a hell. Is it worth ignoring the way of salvation through Christ? Just a 10% chance. You know, God loved us so much. One day I was walking with one of my sons down the mountain path, and we stepped on an anthill. A lot of ants were suffering, and their little house had been destroyed. And we got down and looked, and I thought to myself, I wish we could go down and help them rebuild or help the ants get to the hospital. But we couldn't. We were too big and they were too little. God looked down on this planet and saw us as little ants. He saw that we were destroying ourselves. And God found a way. He decided to become a man. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He was God in the flesh. He came to tell us that he loved us. He taught us many wonderful things. He healed many sick people. He taught us the way to heaven. He taught us that we could have peace and joy and happiness in this life. The scripture says, when he died on the cross and shed his blood for us, he hath made him to be sin for us. Think of it, Jesus Christ became sin. When he looked in that cup at Gethsemane, what did he see? He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In that cup was the sins of the whole world, including yours and mine. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Then in Isaiah it says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. In 1 Peter 2 it says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the cross. Then in Peter it says, Christ also once suffered the sin, the just for the unjust. But the cross was not the end. They buried him. 3 days later he rose from the dead. And Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And the scripture says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's not the end of the story. The end of the story is when you come to Christ, and then the coming again of Jesus. My mother used to tell me that every morning when she woke up, she thought this may be the day when he was coming back. I've thought that many times myself. This may be the day. Hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds in heaven. Now what do you have to do? God has done all that for us. What do we have to do? First, you must repent of your sins. The first sermon Jesus ever preached was repentance. Scripture says he began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repentance means we are sorry enough to quit. Repent you and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. God commands all people everywhere to repent, the scripture says. It means to turn around, to change your mind, to head in a new direction in your life. Not only must you repent, but you must believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. In Ephesians, it says, for by grace you are saved through faith. The word faith means commitment. You're committed to Christ. It's not a blind, irrational leap into the dark. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In this computer age in which we live, I thought a cartoon in the paper put it very well. Someone wrote to the pastor and said, dear preacher, what does God forgive you mean? Signed, confused. The preacher wrote back, it means all your files are deleted. They're totally erased. He will wipe the slate clean because Jesus Christ took your place and paid the penalty for you. You can start life all over right here today.